Welcome to the Brutalitopia Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the very first Brutalitopia Podcast here that we are titling the Dick Cast. With me here, of course, are the other two main dudes from the Tope. I, of course, am Mick, and with me is none other than Durf and Jack. Durf and Jack, say hello.
Hello.
What's up? Dick Cast, so, yeah, Dick Cast number one.
For this very first podcast, we're kind of, you guys have obviously all listened to our radio shows and know that those were pretty awesome, so we definitely wanted to bring the podcast and make it a thing for the site. For the podcast, we're hoping to kind of just, you know, spitball about anything, really. There's no super big form we're going for with each podcast. It's just whatever we think is worth talking about, worth addressing, that you guys may find interesting or not. You know, music's pretty subjective, so it's whatever we think is going on. So does anybody have anything on their plates to start off?
I mean, it goes without saying that the topics are within the realm of metal, right? Like, we're not talking Ugandan politics, because I'm not ready for that. I'm not prepared.
Yeah,
I mean, we have Wikipedia at our fingertips.
That's so reliable.
We can just act like we know about Ugandan politics if that's what people really want.
That's good. True.
Then we, right. then it would really live up to the name of Dick Cast.
Yeah. I think we should actually rename it the Cast Dick.
The Cast Dick?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. There's something about it, and when you called it the Dick Cast, I'm just thinking about a dick in a cast.
That's all I was thinking of. I thought that was the point.
That could be
the
point.
That was the joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a banging podcast that you're going to have to encase your dick in plaster to let it heal.
To even, yeah, there you go.
Well, that's a great start.
Are dick casts approved by the FDA for condom substitutes, by the way?
Well, then that certainly begs the question of whether you could, you know, create a condom and call it the dick cast.
Because, I mean, if your Trojan, dick is get wrapped in plaster, it's going to be hard, right?
You'd think.
Anywho, metal, music, metal. What do we got?
Well, I think a good starting point, as far as you know, recent developments are concerned, especially considering that, you know, we're doing our best to get to Deathfest, Maryland Deathfest in 2014, would be to talk about the bands that have been confirmed for MDF
sure.
A little under a year from now. So it escapes me at this moment what year At the Gates first headlined. I think it was 2010. I think. I could be wrong about that. But At the Gates, Gorguts, Taka, Bong Ripper, and a handful of others so far. What are your guys' thoughts? Because I think you guys know full well, and anybody that has read anything I've written or said on the air before knows that my dick gets wet for At the Gates. So
yeah, Slaughter of the Soul is definitely your bag.
Yeah, it is. Which you know, some people certainly. I feel like it's been retconned about how important that album is, because Terminal Spirit Disease is, of course, like. You know, if you're talking from a perspective of their best record, Terminal Spirit Disease is that, but Slaughter of the Soul certainly had the most profound effect, to some people's chagrin, of course, because of its inspiration on metalcore and
sure.
What have you. But that's a discussion for another time that's already been beaten to death.
I'm just excited just because it would be would it be your guys' first MDF too if we mm-hmm. went?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited just for the fact of going to it, because I've never been to, like, a big metal festival like that. I mean, America, is that really the only big one that America even has?
As far as, like, a one-off thing, pretty much.
Isn't New England Hardcore Fest?
That's yeah, true. There's yeah. New England Metal and Hardcore, and that's there's it. Been other ones in the past, but none of them really have gotten to the point. Like, Hellfest, I think, was the big one for a long time.
Okay.
But then they had their monetary issues, and then they don't have it anymore. And now people still think it exists, but the Hellfest in France is something different entirely. So I would go out as far as saying that it's easily the most high profile one off fest for metal right now.
Sure.
I mean, at least in America.
Right, exactly. I mean, nothing's going to touch Vakken anytime soon.
Yeah.
No. I'm definitely stoked for At the Gates. I think Bong Ripper will be a good silly time. And obviously, with the release of Colored Sands, you know, the first Gorguts album in, what, like 14, 15 years?
Yeah, something. Yeah, I think it's 15.
That's going to be awesome.
Well, and I think the interesting thing about it too is that we've already got these big names, bands that, you know, like Gorguts, like Bong Ripper, that don't really tour all that whole hell of a lot anymore. And we're bound to get more names going forward. So if the release of names so far is encouraging, I think that going forward, as they release more names, it's only going to be more encouraging about how good the show is going to be, because At the Gates and Gorguts, that's worth the price of admission right there.
Right.
Do you guys have predictions?
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to see. Well, I was going to say Church of Misery. I would not be surprised to see Church of Misery.
It's a good one.
But it's always kind of hard to say with those foreign bands. But being that they just released a new record and they're, you know, finally getting a little bit of press more than before, Church of Misery would probably be my first one, at least as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I don't really fucking care about.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to predict as opposed to, like, just thinking of who you would want to see there.
Yeah, that was my point. I'm like, well, I want to see Church of Misery, so of course they should go.
Because I know, I think last year or the year before, I know Pelican was there.
Yeah, right. Pelican was there this past one.
I think Agalloch as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, those are two, obviously, that are like, yes, please.
Right. Well, I mean, and I would also be stunned if Carcass wasn't there again, just based on the fact that they released a record this year. And, you know, they obviously have the similarity and relation to bands like At the Gates and Gorguts. So,
sure.
Would not be shocked to see them announce.
Carcass is touring their opening with Amon Amarth next year.
Right.
So it wouldn't be surprising if either of those made MDF.
Agreed.
So yeah, MDF definitely something every metal fan in general, I would say, would want to check out if possible. I know we would want to go just for more or less the trip and everything. But kind of going on that notion of tours, like past, present, 2013 has certainly had plenty of great releases and tours to back those up. I know currently Summer Slaughter is going around, and I could say this is probably, I know it's going to be in Chicago here tomorrow, I don't know if we're going to make it out to it, but definitely one of the better lineups I've seen for that tour yet.
For sure. I mean, it's kind of, it's interesting how far that tour has come.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of reflective of, you know, what's popular sort of in the, and you can't even call it mainstream, but it's what's cool at the moment. With the larger
kind of
metal crowd.
Yeah, kind of more of the mainstream within the metal community.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think mainstream is a bad word to use in relation
either,
bands
but
on Summer Slaughter. I think that, you know, as far as Dillinger Escape Plan, Animals as Leaders, I mean, they're definitely stalwarts, and every metal fan knows their name.
Yeah, and especially when you have, like, bands like Revocation, like Norma Jean, Periphery, I think, is on there too, and those are like openers. It's like, you know,
right.
It's gonna be an amazing show.
Yeah. Well, and
didn't Stacey do a post on the Tope about that? She wrote it.
She did.
It's definitely worth checking out.
We should also give a shout out to our other Tope members that have joined us since the site kind of was given new life again.
Relaunched.
Tom and Stacey, of course, wanted to be here. Or I guess can we call her Stacy instead of Angela?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, are we betraying her nom de plume if we call her Stacy? Now everybody knows.
Cat's out of the bag.
Don't listen to us. Her name's Angela.
Yeah. So sorry.
We're all drunk.
So sorry, Angela. Wink, wink. But giving a shout out to them because they definitely wanted to be on this first podcast. But, you know, not to say we're not going to do more of these if this one takes off. So,
well, I was going to say, talking about Summer Slaughter, that what's been interesting with that, the way that tour started to go is that they'll have these, you know, up and coming acts sort of to start off the show, and every year it seems they grab onto sort of a more veteran presence, this year being right. Decap, Cattle Decap.
Yeah.
And it's always so funny to me, like, these tours are, like, the only instances where you'll see, like, a Cattle Decap fan hanging out with Rings of Saturn fans. there's an interesting crossover.
Yeah, they definitely do there's a great job they do of bringing all the different kind of metal fans together and getting, you know, these bands exposed to fans that typically wouldn't listen to their music, which I think is a huge boon and very beneficial for the metal community.
For sure.
I definitely think they're kind of usurping Mayhem as kind of like the go-to summer festival.
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as Mayhem keeps making like Rob Zombie seem like a thing in 2013.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, that's cool. People are into that, but
yeah,
I feel like the Mayhem side stage is always worth seeing. And like they have the bands on the Mayhem tour that they could put together for a great metal show. But then they throw in like Rob Zombie, Five Finger Death Punch,
Emur,
Skillet.
Wait, are you serious? Skillet was
no,
on?
Skillet's on, I don't know, Skillet's on like Papa Roach's new tour. I don't know. Oh,
speaking of shit that doesn't matter.
Right, but, you know, Mayhem's at the point where, if, you know, you saw that Papa Roach was third on the bill between, like, Korn and Mastodon, you wouldn't be surprised. You'd be like, oh, okay.
Alex, I'll take bands that Mastodon shouldn't be touring with for $400, please.
I'll take bands Mastodon shouldn't be opening for $6.
Any upcoming tours that you guys are eyeing particularly?
To tell you the truth, I'm not very good at keeping up with tours anymore.
Well, fuck you, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's become one of those things where I just sort of pay attention to, you know, the shows that are near me, and I don't really think of it in the grand scheme of, oh, this is a tour that maybe my friends will see in other parts of the country.
I think there's two in particular that, right off the top of my head, I know.
I love that. Okay, fuck you, Jack, for your lack of good input, and I'm going
to
just go.
We're
back
trying
to
do a goddamn podcast here,
and I'm trying to inform you guys right in the ass.
It's your dick cast.
My dick cast. Slide on my dick cast.
Not everything revolves around Palo Alto. Dick.
Tell that.
How
to the
sunny is it
Palo
there?
Alto.
How sunny is it there?
How sunny is it here?
Trick question. I don't give a fuck.
Who are you? The
it
rock?
Doesn't matter. How
it
sunny
doesn't
it is
matter
there.
How sunny it is there.
But back on track. Tours. Two that I can think of right off the top of my head. That both Durf and I will be going to is, first off, Between the Buried and Me is doing a headlining tour where they're playing their new album in its entirety.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty awesome.
That was last year, wasn't it?
Hmm?
That's not that new. It's like their newest one, but...
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's almost a year old.
Right. Well, because they went on that... I think they said when we interviewed them last that they originally had planned it to do, like, over this summer, but they obviously got stuck on that Russian Circles Coheed bill, which for... Russian Circles BT Bam show was great.
Yeah, oh yeah, and then goddamn Coheed fans.
It wasn't so much Coheed as the fans, just to point out.
Yeah, I'm sure Claudio Sanchez and the rest of those bands, short of the dude that like got high on meth and robbed the drugstore, everybody else in that band is probably a really good guy.
Right.
But their fans were just assholes.
Yeah, so take note, Coheed fans, you are on Retalotopia's shit list as of now.
You're on our dick cast.
If you're listening, just stop listening right now and
I've got
tell
a
cooler
cast,
friend
I got your name
about
the but that tour, of course, them headlining, they have, I think, the Faceless and the Contortionist as openers. I think the Safety Fire is on there, too.
Yeah.
So a very proggy evening that will be.
Quick detour. Has anybody listened to anything by the new Safety Fire album? Because I keep hearing about it. It keeps popping up everywhere.
I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I haven't either. I listened to the last one I think they put out 2 years ago that got a lot of hype but I didn't get it, for lack of a better term. I mean, it wasn't like it was bad. It was just like, this isn't necessarily doing anything for me.
Okay. All right.
So there's that tour that'll be going around in the fall. That same weekend, actually the next day, for us here in Chicago, will be Goblin is playing their
fucking
first.
That's going to be so
their first cool. American tour ever. And that's going to be something else.
Jack, did you just say you hate Goblin?
No, I said fucking a right Goblin.
Oh, good. I was about to say, I don't know you anymore.
Fucking
yeah, right?
Yeah.
That sky is falling.
That whole weekend is just going to be like, I'm going to kill so many brain cells that weekend watching these bands.
As you should.
That's going to be an overload
yeah.
for sure.
When is it's that same ballpark time? I think it's October 2nd here in Chicago, but the Catatonia Intronaut
yeah.
Cult of Luna tour.
Oh, right.
That was one of the bands on there, isn't there?
Tesseract, I think.
Tesseract, yeah. Oh, Jesus. That's going to be I'm really, really looking forward to that one.
The other one I was about to bring up, let's see. Oh, Overkill. Overkill's going on tour with creator at Warbringer.
Oh, nice.
I know that I'm without evening. Tom here, we're sort of at a loss for words in terms of thrash. I'm the only one that really cares about it much out of the three of us, but Overkill is always dope to see. Oh, if you're into old metal, crusty metal, Saxon is going on tour with Chris Jericho.
Wow.
Also known as Fozzy.
Fozzy.
Is wow. there, like, okay, as much as I love Chris Jericho, and I will have to say that, like, there are a couple Fozzy songs that are catchy and fun.
Mm.
Is there a worse fucking name for a band?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Yes. 100% yes. I don't have any off the top of my head, but there's easily.
Black Veil Brides.
Waka Waka.
Waka Waka. Yeah, there you go. They should just name, they recently renamed themselves Waka Waka.
Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals is a pretty shitty band name.
That's a good point.
What are other really terrible band names?
Well, there's a lot out there.
But yeah, right? So I don't think Fozzy is anywhere near the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, that one band called The Browning. That still, to me, is one of the... I mean, and they're not that bad, really, but...
Yeah.
Let's name our band after shit.
I mean, they're no Wicked Wisdom, which is a pretty terrible... I don't even know if they're still doing anything, but Wicked Wisdom is an awful band name for a terrible band.
30th anniversary of Kill 'Em All. That happened a little bit ago.
That did.
Yeah.
And Lars is still a dick 30 years later.
I'm pretty sure that goes without saying.
I want to know, there should be some statistics compiled on Metallica and how often they're brought up in, like, a journalistic or editorial setting, mm-hmm. and the next point that's made is how big of an asshole Lars Ulrich is.
Dude, there is. There's a total log of that. Just go back to the whole Napster trials and,
right?
You know, just look, anything you look up, you just, don't directly call Lars a dick, but you just read his quote and you're just like, wow. This guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I think what Jack's saying, though, is that there has to be, like, an actual, like, physical chart documenting the data of the number of times this has happened. Like, the...
Hey, did you hear that new Metallica album? Yeah, it's good. Lars is such a fucking asshole.
we need to make, like, a scatter plot of this somehow.
I mean, it's gotta be at least 99% of the time.
You'd think so, right?
There's maybe like one interview out of 100 where people don't jump to that, and that's probably from the Danish press. I mean, what else has Denmark done lately?
Nothing.
Yeah, so they don't care. Let's just celebrate the fact that someone cares about Denmark.
We suddenly lost all our readers in Denmark.
Sorry, Denmark.
Sorry, guys. My bad.
Yeah, we should have checked the stats first. Turns out that, you know, 91% of our readers are from Denmark. And, well, just fucked ourselves in the ass on that one.
That shouldn't take away from the fact, though, that it was the 30th anniversary of Kill 'Em All, which is pretty surreal.
Yeah.
I think the coolest thing about reflecting on all that is how the fallout that occurred with Megadeth and Dave Mustaine, to me, like, that to me is the most important part of its legacy, is that... You know, you hear about the stories involving Mustaine getting pissed about his solos being rewritten by Kirk Hammett, and how there was songs used on both records with Megadeth. Like, it's just, it's got a really interesting history just beyond being such an important record for the greater metal scene, I suppose.
Well, let's not weep for Mustaine too much. I mean, let's look at where he is now. I mean, exactly. He's doing great, right?
he's writing better records than Metallica is right now, frankly. So,
I don't know, man. Do you listen to any of Super Collider? It's pretty god awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess relatively speaking, compared, it's so bad that, like, the two of them are just, like, bad now.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's fair to say that Metallica definitely came out on top in the 80s over Megadeth. Megadeth, sure. probably I'll give them the edge for the 90s. And then for the, you know,
probably
the turn
are
of the
you
century.
Saying are you saying Fuel is better than, like, it's like So Far So Good So What?
No, I don't know how other people think about, you know, live albums, but I definitely think that S&M makes up for Fuel. And Load and Reload and that song they did for Mission Impossible.
And Hot Load.
And Hot Load. Yeah.
Steaming Load.
But at this point, I think that Dave Mustaine is more of a punchline for his idiotic political views than he is a musician.
Which is unfortunate, but completely true.
Thinking of that, in terms of names just being a punchline, Varge.
Yeah.
Have you kept up on what he's been up to lately?
He just got arrested in France, right? And then they released him.
Well,
and
he's crowdsourcing his fucking case.
Yeah, now he's
like that.
He's crowdfunding a lawsuit against France.
No, he's not.
For illegally arresting him. Yes, he is.
And
that's,
it's like him
so
and his wife's
awesome.
Kids are staying with their grandma or some shit like that. And he, like, made some appeal to, like, I can't remember. It was some sort of appeal. Like, my kids aren't going to have a place to stay. And I'm like, yeah. Well, you didn't think about that when you fucking killed Boyce and Arseth. So, like, I don't really give a shit about that.
God, so, what a character.
Yeah, nothing I really wanted to go into too much about that. Just the punchline of that was
you know what,
worth
though?
The mention.
I don't like the guy. I don't agree with the guy, but when he's gone, I'm going to be sad because we're not going to get things like this. Like, do you remember his, like, photo shoot that he did a couple years ago where he was, like, dressed up as a Viking running around looking like a silly guy?
He has to be. If we're going to compile, maybe we should do this because it would get read. Brutalitopia peeps out there, you need to let us know if this is something you'd like to see. Biggest enigmas in heavy music, because Varg Vikernes would have to be up there.
Yeah, that would be quite the article to put together.
Well, I mean, we just mentioned, like, if, you know, I suppose that kind of goes hand in hand with punchline, people who are punchlines these days, but, like, Varg and Dave Mustaine would be right up at the top.
Yeah. And Fred Durst.
Poor guy.
Did we tell you what we did? Have you seen the new single they released?
Yes.
You have.
Did you watch the video?
No.
Oh, God.
There's not enough whiskey in this apartment to make me do that again.
Durf and I were about four beers in and thought for some reason that it was a good idea to maybe check out that video. And Durf brought up a very good point, like, hey, should we maybe take a shot of whiskey beforehand to maybe make it bearable? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Please sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
That was nowhere close enough.
You should have had an IV of alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was Lil Wayne was in that too.
Oh, man. Now I need to see it.
Oh,
I'm pretty
God.
Sure he rhymes, like, feet with feet at some point or something like that. He uses the same word to rhyme with the other word.
Oh, wow.
And, like, creepy ass Fred Durst is, like, grinding up on probably, like, 19-year-old porn stars.
And he's grody looking now, too. He's got, a full-ass beard going, and
he looks old as fuck. He
looks like a serial killer.
I mean, he kind of looked old as fuck right at the end of their whole thing, anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's really fair
ago.
To say they're...
What? When was
sort
of the end
a
of
question.
Their whole
yeah, right. That's
Haven't they always
say.
Just been a thing of not being a thing? Like, don't mean to get too meta here, but they've kind of always been gotten attention because they're bad.
Yeah, but do you remember, I mean, not necessarily within the metal community, but just in pop culture in general, do you remember how big, like, Significant Other and...
Dude, I had Now 3. Nookie was on there.
Right? Like, they were huge, and they were, you know, them and fucking Korn and Marilyn Manson putting, like, hard rock on MTV.
Puddle of Mud.
Puddle of Mud. Oh, my God. Fucking Wes Scantlin, that guy. Which I think brings up another cool point is that you look at these bands that were all mentioned in the same breath, like Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit and Korn and System of a Down. And the only one of those bands that's taken seriously anymore is arguably the least heavy of those bands, and that's the Deftones. So I think it's crazy because I think if you go back to 1999, nobody would expect that in 14 years, Deftones are going to be the band that stuck it out and is arguably, not even arguably, is the best band of that new metal wave.
Yeah, and I kind of take offense to the fact that they got lumped in with that new metal genre, because I obviously know that they were a part of that movement, like, were one of the front runners during that time, but I don't know, it just, like, obviously naming those other bands, you know they don't fit that.
Yeah. You know, White Pony came out and everybody was like, yeah, Change and Passenger. It's the same as Freak on a Leash and Hybrid Theory.
Oh, man. What else do we have on our agenda for this cast, Dick?
I think the only other thing that was really on our agenda here was Phil Labonte.
Phil the douche.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like,
yeah, Jack, why don't you fill us in on what...
I'm sure...
That was just yesterday that was reported, right?
Yeah, it was just yesterday. I mean, he's known to... First of all, before we get into the actual situation itself, like, Twitter is the new YouTube in terms of, like, stupid shit being said. and the funniest thing about it is that, you know, you can do that anonymously on YouTube, but people say the dumbest shit, and then, like, Gawker will post some fucking retarded... like, story that'll get hundreds of thousands of hits about just random people around America responding to things and making an ass out of themselves.
Right.
So, like, why would...
God bless the internet.
Right, exactly. So, first of all, even if you are, like, a well-known person who may be able to get away with saying things, like, why would you say it on Twitter?
Because it gets you attention, and attention
right.
keeps you relevant.
Yes. So, I suppose in a sort of a backhanded way, it's a good thing, because now, look, we're talking about All That Remains, but... Phil Labonte tried to lash out at Metal Injection, but it instead lashed out at Metal Insider, and then it was this whole fucking thing.
Because, like, he thought Metal Insider was Metal Injection.
Yeah, right? That I guess he, like, typed in their thing wrong. Like, I don't fucking know. Point being
is
that
what did he say? Fill me up. Catch me up on this.
Well, I'm going to have to pull it up.
I think... I'm trying to remember this because I just read it last night when you posted it, Jack, was... I think Metal Insider said they were doing a listening party for, like, the new Devil Driver album or something like that.
That's right.
And Phil chimed in and was like, just started like this, he just opened this bag of worms. He's like, oh, like, you guys are going to be, like, sucking a bunch of dick and stuff for, like, ad money or something like that. thinking they were Metal Injection, not Metal Insider.
Oh, God.
And then Metal Insider's like, whoa, whoa, Phil, like, easy, like, you know, hey. And then Metal Injection chimed in, and then it just, like, it was just a huge shitstorm across Twitter that happened there.
Right, exactly. Well, I have to say this is completely not, I suppose it relates to the topic at hand, but I was just typing in, felt like I was going to look and find the actual transcript of what happened. Typed in Google Phil Labonte, and the first hit was Phil Labonte net worth. I don't know if that's Phil. I think there's better ways of figuring out how worth you are.
True.
How much you're worth. All right, so here we
go. I think we can all say his Twitter is worth gold, right?
Yeah, as of right now, definitely. Yeah, it involved some sort of borderline homophobic shit, which if you've read Phil Labonte's Twitter before,
he's kind of also gone that path of being very political and people just want him to shut the fuck up.
yeah, which is just like, I don't really get it. And then he started saying stuff like, I give you a job and, like, you know, yeah, you make money off of writing about me, and it's like,
sigh.
Mm-hmm. Basically. And then that, so like, on that note, we should also do, like, if we're going to do a list of, like, biggest enigmas, we should also do, like best public spats.
Yeah, that would be a good list. That would, everybody likes hearing about fights.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, we've already talked about three of them today. Like, you got Phil Labonte versus Metal Insider and Metal Injection. Metallica versus all of their fans.
Metallica versus the world.
Exactly. And Varg Vigernes against...
I am excited against... for their new movie, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Varg versus Sanity.
Varg, yeah, exactly.
I think Varg would like to clarify that it's not versus Sanity, it's versus the Jews.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, God.
We just want to be right about this. I mean, journalistic integrity.
Right? Yeah.
It's our duty to talk about these things, people.
Somebody's got to do it.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
It's a heavy burden that we wear on our shoulders.
The one thing I think we should make a parting... I had to step away for a second when we were talking about Limp Bizkit. I still think that they're, at least for me, as a wrestling fan, their greatest point of relevance is when The Undertaker dropped his fucking, supernatural gimmick and became a biker and came out to Roland. Cause
oh, God.
I'm still holding on hope that one day he's going to, like, come into WrestleMania and, like, you know, cut the same old bullshit promo and then actually come out as Biker Taker.
And just piss everyone off.
Exactly. Fred Durst will be standing on stage.
Yeah, like he'll, like Limp Bizkit will actually be there performing it. We'll
drop the mic. Yeah, exactly.
And everyone will hate everything ever.
Greatest heel turn ever. Hands down.
Well, to kind of start wrapping up this first podcast, or Dickcast, if you will.
Dickcast.
We certainly have kind of wrapped in many people we have labeled as dicks, so I guess it's kind of maintained some relevance. Yeah.
We didn't even do that on purpose. That just
we didn't. It just naturally happened.
Shit.
The stars aligned.
I guess it's kind of natural, being a little over the halfway point of the year, 2013. We mentioned before we kind of started this podcast, there are obviously a ton of great releases that've been out there. What have really stood out to you guys as being some of the cream of the crop thus far in 2013?
Well, I have done a poor job of keeping up with, like, the more high-profile releases.
Okay.
That being said, there's been a handful of stuff sort of on the less talked-about side of things that I've really enjoyed.
Hmm.
There's a band called March the Desert that came out with a record kind of earlier in March that was super heavy, super, super good. That okay. I would tell everybody to go check out.
Are they like on a label or something, or is it a?
To tell you the truth, I'm not entirely certain. It may be self-released, but I found it through Stone Aerobics, which is, got a shout out to that dude, Robin, because he's super good at finding like some of the best underground stoner stuff around. Okay. As far as stuff that is, I'm going through here that it, you know. That is a little bit more high profile. I've really enjoyed the new Clutch record. And then obviously Killessa and Ghost have probably been at the top of my list for more mainstream stuff.
I still haven't listened to that Killessa album.
It's great. It really took a little bit to grow on me, but it's good.
Nice. Durf, what would be topping your list as of now?
I got to agree with Jack. Earthrocker, the new Clutch album, is just, it's great. It's just a balls-out rock and roll record. It's really good. The newest Stephen Wilson album, The Raven That Refused to Sing.
So good.
It's just, it's like beautiful and progressive, and just everything it does, it hits the mark. There's a band out of Scotland that I stumbled upon called Arsai. And they do like a Scottish, they're like a Scottish agalock, I guess. But it's like folky black metal, and it makes you want to put on a kilt and go kill a dragon.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sweet. And oh god, the new Altar of Plagues, and
this is delicious.
The last Altar of Plagues,
so good,
unfortunately, which sucks. But they went out on top, man. Teeth, Glory, and Injury is just perfect.
Yeah, did you hear about that, Jack? They announced they're done.
Which is a bummer, but if you're going to go out on top.
Right. That's an interesting point, kind of like, it sucks, but at the same time, like, they went out, like, with a, like, absolutely solid discog, you know? Like, how can you argue that?
Yeah, there's not a weak link in their discography.
Not in the slightest.
Nick, what have you been rocking? What do you like?
I would definitely piggyback off the Altar of Plagues there. Definitely been one of the ones I've been listening to the most. Another one that I know Durf, you and I have been kind of talking about a lot intermittently is the new Tesseract, actually, is
solid.
Really solid. At first, like, I enjoyed it the first time I listened to it, but it's like one of those albums that, like, really grows on you. The rotating door of Tesseract singers, they got a new one again. But this one does completely clean vocals on the album, and just like they constructed it so it, you know, kind of flowed like one piece of music, and it was just really, really amazing stuff. And it just, like I said, just grows on you with each listen. So definitely have been spinning that.
Yeah, he knocks it out of the park, their new vocalist.
Yeah, he's really good. Another kind of high profile one that we haven't mentioned yet, the new Def Heaven that came out a few months ago is stellar. Durf, I know you say you don't like it as much as their previous full-length, Roads to Judah, but I would argue against that. I have been liking this one a lot more. It just seems like it's more, like the tracks are more distinguishable. Like as
I think that's what made Roads to Judah for me, is how raw it was.
Yeah, I like that it just kind of flowed together, and I felt the production was a lot, like Jack said, a little more raw.
Sure.
I do think Sunbathed is great. Like, I cannot argue against its inclusion on this sort of best of so far list or discussion. But yeah, it's really good. I just happen to prefer Roads to Judah.
Jack, I know
two I didn't mention. More on the rock and roll side of things, which is sort of what I've been kind of slowly listening to a lot more, like, you know, crossover rock metal stuff. There's a band called California X, who are actually from Massachusetts. But
explain, how does that work?
I think it's sort of their name is a little bit of a nod to Dinosaur Jr. because they're a bit of a.
I was kidding. It was a joke.
Well, no, I'm aware that it is actually kind of funny because they really are trying to cop that sort of, you know, 1990s sort of grungy, fast rock and roll sound that you found in California. So, but that being said, California X's debut full length is super, super good. And then there's a band called Audrey Horn who came out with a record called Youngblood in March. That I've been listening to a shitload. It really reminds me a lot of Witchcraft's last record, which was on my my year end list that never actually got published from 2012. Audrey Horn and California X are two that people might not know as much about that I would suggest people check out.
Did you listen to the new Danko Jones record at all?
Oh, it's so sick.
I haven't gotten around to that one yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I fucking love Danko Jones. So I everything he touches is gold as far as I'm concerned. So I might not be the most reliable source to talk about it since I just love everything he does. But
Other albums of note, New Scale of Summit.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
It's tremendous.
Atlas Novus, man. Atlas Novus.
That track.
That track.
That track.
Gurmagur. Atlas Nervish. trying to think of what else I haven't mentioned that should be. New Intronaut.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Dawning is really, really good.
I guess to, instead of just sitting here thinking of stuff we haven't mentioned, kind of moving forward, what stuff that hasn't been released yet that we know of that is very highly anticipated for us that's worth checking out once it does come out?
Durf, go ahead, because I'm unprepared.
Yeah, surprise.
I'm also unprepared. I'm trying to think because I know Revocation and Gorguts were on my list, but now I've heard those and they're basically absolutely living up to. Oh, new Dream Theater
yes
is coming out. That's gonna be That's going to be fun. I've really liked the, I didn't think I would, but I also didn't think I could hate it any more than I'd kind of fallen on Dream Theater, but I'm really enjoying the post-Portnoy Dream Theater output.
Yeah, that's far. Because their last album, like Mike Mangini was obviously kind of just coming into the band at that time. Like the new album was already written at that point. That was just like John Petrucci, like, you know, doing his drums like in there. So now this is like kind of like the first new album that like Mike Mangini really has, you know, full input on it. So this should be really interesting.
James LaBrie, speaking of which, just came out with his solo record, I think.
He did. I haven't listened to that yet. I've heard pretty decent things about it, though.
I can't take James LaBrie seriously still to this day.
Yeah.
what is that they called it when we saw them back in 2011? Did I say, like, now he's put on his woman costume or something?
You were like, I was so into it when they started playing, and then he just came out in, like, that long, like, well, it was like a leather trench coat almost. Yeah.
It's like something like a pro wrestler would wear. I was so confused.
Oh, you know what? I'm actually really excited for the new Watain.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be cool. A new Born of Osiris is coming out soon. Oh, no. My God. I know what I'm excited for. New Ulcerate.
Yes.
Have you heard that new track?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Conjuring Empathy or
something brutal in heaven.
Conjuring Entropy. And it just, like, I think I tweeted when it came out that whatever it's called, the real name should be, like, punching your ears so hard in the dick that they scream for mercy, because it's just, God, it's so good. I can't wait for that one.
There was a couple others I was going to bring up. Flesh God Apocalypse is coming out with a new one soon.
Labyrinth.
Oh, Necrogoblicon. Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, there really are a lot sort of just...
Yeah, I mean, being from Chicago, we still haven't mentioned there's new Pelican and new Russian Circles coming out.
Yeah.
Ministry as well.
That new Flesh God Apocalypse is out next week.
That's right. Guar's coming out with a new one in September.
Guys, hold the phone. Look, we are 2 weeks away from the new Avenged Sevenfold record. And no one has talked about it yet.
Well, they are going to take the torch from Metallica and Iron Maiden. So, I mean, this should... I don't know why we didn't mention that first, you know? Yeah.
It's about time someone did. We've only been waiting 25 years.
I'm going to go kill myself. Jesus Christ. That's just embarrassing for everyone. So, moving on.
New Trivium. That's coming out.
New Trivium, same day as New Red Fang as well.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot New Red Fang's coming out. That's going to be pretty killer.
Should we say New Disturbed, Mick?
Yeah.
The new Disturbed record is coming out.
Right. I mean, David Draiman is producing it, so it's going to be Disturbed, right?
Pretty much.
I was actually flipping through some Sirius XM today, and I stumbled across I don't know if it was a Disturbed song or if it was something else that David Draiman's doing, but I wish he could actually get with like a better band that sounded better. I don't mind listening to that dude sing.
I think he did have a new side project he was doing after Disturbed kind of took a hiatus for an indefinite hiatus.
I'm not certain.
I think it's called, like, Device or something.
Yeah, that was who it was. That was him. I'm not crazy.
No, that it was him. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think I should recant that story that I told that one time on the show back in the day where my one experience with, like, a more mainstream vocalist. I was walking in downtown Chicago and a yellow Hummer rolls up kind of quickly to the road, or excuse me, to the stoplight, and I'm crossing and I look at the license plate and it says reject. Mm-hmm. And David Draiman's driving the fucking car.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. And it was like, it was so clearly him too, because he had the fucking, like, the little,
like, the piercings. Rings on his chin. Yeah.
Yeah. I
mouth spikes, because I'm so fucking cool.
But are you sure it wasn't? But are you sure it wasn't Howie Mandel?
Yeah, see, no, that's the question.
Anyone who hasn't looked that up, do a Google image search of David Draiman and Howie Mandel, and try not to freak out at how alike they look.
It's so fucking scary. It's so weird.
I think they're the same person, and nothing anyone can do can convince me otherwise. I think the lead singer of Disturbed hosts Minute to Win It on NBC.
Yeah, but is there anything else outstanding that we've missed for this first podcast?
I'm spent at this moment.
Yeah, I think we covered the we ran the gauntlet.
Yeah. So that being said, thank you everyone for listening. Hopefully these will become kind of more I don't think we need to necessarily plan them more. I think this went pretty well.
You let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll obviously post this on wherever we can possibly post it, so let us know, give us feedback.
Negative feedback will be deleted.
Yeah, yep. Don't bother posting negative feedback. That's garbage.
I don't want to hear it. But everything we do is gold. And if you don't agree, then sorry.
But you'll be on our next Dickcast.
Dickcast.
But hopefully we'll get our other contributors, Tom and quote Angela, on here next time to contribute their 2 cents to whatever is going on. So let us know what you guys think. Thanks for listening, everyone. Say goodbye.
Peace out, people.
Drive safe.
Later.
Good drive.
Dickcast out.